So in 1989, when I began to show some awareness of the trees of Vrindavan, and I started visiting some of the more well-known ones, some of which we will speak about, and some of which we have here up on the wall. So first I'd like to quickly introduce, you can see the names of the trees and where they are. Some of these trees are no longer visible to the eyes of persons like ourselves. For example, on the top you can see there's the picture, second one of Radhakund, the neem tree. This is one, was considered to be one of the five Pandavas who was living in the form of a tree on the bank of Shyamakund. And because of the presence of those trees, they gave their darshan to Raghunath Das Goswami, requesting him not to make Shyamakund square. The Kund, Radhakund, is a rectangular square shape, normal shape for a Kund, but Shyamakund is shaped a little unusually as a result of the presence of these trees. They presented to Raghunath Das that they were the Pandavas who were residing on the bank of Shyamakund in the form of trees, meditating on Krishna's pastimes there. So then on the bottom, the second to last one, this is Punchari. This is a Kadamba tree and a Tamal tree, very, very, very old trees, entwined. And when you see a Kadamba tree and a Tamal tree entwined around each other, as if growing out of each other, this is an indication that this is a place where Krishna has performed his Rasa-lila, because the Kadamba tree always represents Srimati Radharani and the Tamal tree represents Krishna. So when Srimati Radharani, sometimes she would go to meet Krishna and she would see a Tamal tree and she would think, oh, Krishna is there. And sometimes the gopis would say to her, you see over there, there's a Tamal tree, and it would be Krishna. And they would say, they would tell Krishna, put your arms out like this. So he put his arms out like this. And she would say, yes, I can see the Tamal tree, you know, the lightning. Yes, I can see the lightning. So go and stand under that tree and wait there and we'll come back. And then they would leave. And they would leave her in this position where she would meet with Krishna. So this is the Punchari Kadamba Tamal. But basically all the other trees, they're visible to be met and taken darshan of. So most of those trees I had already seen. We can maybe speak a little more. We will speak a little more about them through the week. And so I started to think, well, how can I get just a little more information about the trees? And at that time I had the good fortune to meet this Madhava Baba, who was dying. He understood he was dying of cancer. And so he came to the ISKCON temple to offer the seva and the proprietorship of Rindakund in Nandagram to the devotees in ISKCON. He was older, but he spoke a little English, which was very helpful. So I felt I was such a newcomer to Vrindavan and not very knowledgeable, so I was a little nervous to approach him. He seemed kind of ancient and I felt a little intimidated at first. So I waited some time, and unfortunately, perhaps, I waited until he was quite advanced in his disease, and he was not so socially available. And I nervously got an opportunity to go and meet him, so I went up to him. And why I had approached him was because he was at Rindakund, and I wanted to hear about Rindadevi. So I was expecting he would give me some extraordinary information that I had not yet uncovered. But when I went to see him, he looked at me and he said, if you had come earlier, I would have told you so many things. But now I am not able to speak very much. So I recommend you that if you want to know about Vrindadevi, everything about Vrindadevi is contained within the Vrindadevi Astikam of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he suggested to me that I should get a copy of that particular Astikam. And from that, I could understand who is Vrindadevi and what is her position. So later I did that, and I kept that Astikam, and sometimes I would, when I had the good fortune, I would take it and sing it in various places. It's very simple. To the same, you can sing the Vrindadevi Astikam to the same tune that you can sing the Samsara Dava prayers very easily. in ending each verse with Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam. So very similar. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has composed both of these astikams. So from that astikam today, I would like to read a couple of points about Vrinda Devi. First of all, Vrinda Devi has been given the title. This is the translation, Madhava Baba's translation of this Vrinda Devi astikam. And he gives Vrinda Devi the title of the ruling monarch of Lord Krishna's opulent and auspicious abode of Vrindavan. So Vrinda Devi, if we read in different Goswami literature, you will find out that Vrinda Devi is a gopi who lives in Vrindavan. She has a mother and a father. She's married. She has sisters. She has all of these, what we would consider the paraphernalia of human life. But on the transcendental Goloka Vrindavan, in the transcendental Gokul Vrindavan, she exists. Not like us with human limited bodily family ties and so forth. And she's one of the messengers of Krishna. She's very expert at arranging the meeting of Radha and Krishna. And in the morning, she goes out and she wakes up the Vrindavan forest. Also, she makes all the arrangements. All the maid servants of Vrinda Devi are called Van Devis. And they go throughout Vrindavan and they make all the arrangements for the beverages, for the food for Radha and Krishna, the beautiful special fruits, the golden plates, everything. They have like storehouses all over Vrindavan. But it's not a strain for them, just like it's a very great strain to organize a program like this. You have to think of so many people's eating needs and their what they need in this and that and so many things, a bit of a headache. But for Vrinda Devi, she has so many different resources because she's Krishna's Lila Shakti, as we will hear. So she has all the resources of Vrindavan at her command. So she just says, I want the trees to be all covered in flowers. And the trees all will bloom into flowers. And she calls all the birds, wake up, and now you should fly around Vrindavan, and the bees, you should make your beautiful humming sound, because Govinda is coming, so you should all be prepared. And at night, when Krishna leaves the forest of Vrindavan, he takes his cowherds and his friends, and they return to Nandagram. The forest becomes like a desperate person that's just about to lose their life. And in desperation because of the deep separation that the whole of the forest, the birds, the trees, the peacocks, the bees, the snakes, all the little creatures that you cannot see, all of them, they're going to now be separated from Govinda. They all become like faint. And they all just, for the night, they just feel deep, deep separation. Oh, where is he? And they sleep. They become murcha, or unconscious, in Krishna's absence. And as soon as Krishna's beautiful, delicate lotus feet touch the dust of Vrindavan, by the order of Vrinda Devi, they all reawaken. So she also, it says here, like this, in the Vrinda Devi Astikam, that because of your order, the groves where Madhava performs his pastimes appear very splendid and decorated with blossoming flowers, bumblebees, deer and other auspicious animals, flowers and birds, on your order, Vrinda Devi. Then, as I was just briefly saying, Vrinda Devi is very good at arranging the meeting of Radha and Krishna. So in the morning, sometimes she goes early to the forest. And she makes the forest appear to Krishna's eyes as if the forest is a direct manifestation of Srimati Radharani. All the various forest features appear like Radha herself to Krishna when he is thinking, where is she? Where is she? Oh, she has not come yet. And Vrinda Devi will come and say some very sweet words. And sometimes Vrinda Devi will go, in fact, to get Srimati Radharani if Krishna playing his flute to call her would be rather awkward, because when he played his flute, all the gopis would hear it and they would all come. So then Vrindadevi will arrange just to get Srimati Radharani. And sometimes Vrindadevi pacifies Jyotila. Jyotila, as we know, is the humorous mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani. Just see, even the mother-in-law, everyone criticizes that it's a very popular worldly topic to complain about one's mother-in-law. So even this exists within transcendence in perfection and doesn't in any way diminish the beauty of Krishna's pastimes. It's not an imposition. Here, a mother-in-law is somebody, oh, they're always very tedious to have a mother-in-law who's very demanding and very bossy. They get in the way of your activities. But Krishna's, he has a mother-in-law. Not exactly a mother-in-law, we can't say, but something like that. Srimati Radharani is married, but this is an apparent marriage for the sake of Krishna's pastimes. And all of these arrangements of Vrindavan enhance Radha and Krishna's meetings. They present obstacles that they easily surmount. So we should understand this subject matter very carefully from the right authoritative sources, otherwise we will come up with something of our own concoction. But this is what is spoken by the Guru Parampara. They describe these pastimes and these personalities. So Vrindadevi will go. Sometimes she will arrange to place somebody here and somebody there. And she has also at her disposal a very remarkable crew. So we have many people here who can help. But Vrindadevi has a whole array of disciples in the form of parrots. And these parrots fly all over Vrindavan and they return with messages. And they describe, oh, Chandravali, she is going down this path over here. Tell Krishna to go this way. I just saw Jyotila. She was heading out from her house. Don't go this way. And so many messages. And sometimes even they play a role in that they will drop a little message. From up in the trees, a little voice will be heard that says, oh, just see, down by the Jamuna. And Mother Jyotila will head down toward Jamuna to see what is taking place. So Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi, the living entities who attain the service of the lotus feet of your Lord reside in Vrindavan. And the desire to understand the Lord's amazing pastime of the rasa dance is only by your mercy. So Vrindadevi is so important. There is said there are three people that one has to please before one can actually deeply enter into the inner nature of Vrindavan. We see that we're fortunate to come here and walk here, here and there, and hear something. But if you want to enter into the Leela of Vrindavan, you have to please Vrindadevi, you have to please Purnamasi, because she's Yogamaya. Vrindadevi, she is the Leela Shakti. So if she becomes pleased, she will give you the right desires in your heart that you wish to enter into Krishna's pastimes. And Purnamasi, she can make all kinds of mystical arrangements. So that, for example, with the gopis, when the gopis wish to meet with Krishna, Purnamasi can pacify the situation at home by creating a replica of the gopis. So their mothers and fathers think, oh, they're still here with us. And the actually in their transcendental bodies, they can be released from their families and immediately go to meet with Krishna. So Purnamasi, Yogamaya, Purnamasi, Yogamaya. And the other one, of course, is Gopeshwar Mahadev. Because Gopeshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva, he's the protector of the rasa dance. So in Vrindavan, when you go to see the temple of Gopeshwar, you'll see that in the morning, you'll see the Shiva Lingam. And all the residents of Vrindavan come and they pour their yogurt and their milk and they offer their flowers and so forth to Lord Shiva in Gopeshwar. When there's an Ishwar on the end, it's usually the form of Lord Shiva that is being worshipped. And in the night, after five, if you go there, you'll find the same lingam is dressed as a gopi, with a veil and sometimes a skirt that goes all around, and sometimes silver features of eyes and a mouth and so on and so forth. And everyone comes because then they understand that Lord Shiva is performing this particular service of protecting the rasa arena from anyone who is ineligible to approach such a beautiful transcendental pastime. So these three personalities are very important. So then, In the next verse, it describes that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us that those who have studied the Sattvata Tantras, or the Vaishnava Tantras, glorify you. You are Lord Krishna's potency for performing pastimes, his Leela Shakti, and you are also known as Tulsi Devi in the human society. So it was interesting for me, I will speak of my unfortunate condition, but when I first became a devotee, because I was not brought up in the Vedic culture, I found great difficulty with Tulsi Devi. I would do everything as I was told, perform the puja and so forth, but there was something in my mind, this is a plant, why am I singing and walking around? It was something that I was ignorant about. And when I came to Vrindavan, I could appreciate Tulsi Devi more, because Vrindavan, there's so many Tulsi trees and everyone loves and worships Tulsi. So my cultural basis was improved, but still I couldn't quite conceive of why I was worshipping Tulsi Devi. And then when I was first introduced to Vrinda Devi, it was by going and visiting her in Kamyavan, which is a great distance from Vrindavan, the furthest part you can go from Vrindavan. And my first visit there was by the good fortune of Srila Prabhupada. I had one old friend here in Vrindavan called Bhagatji. And one day Bhagatji, he was very, very old at the time. Some of the ladies who had lived in Vrindavan for a long time asked Bhagatji, could you take us somewhere on parikram? And he said, I will take you to the furthest place away. And he said, I will take you to Kamyavan. So he got a jeep, and six or eight ladies, we all got in the jeep, and we went with him, and he took us to Kamyavan, and he told us a few of the pastimes there. And later I found that place very fascinating, albeit extremely difficult to get to, and I used to go and visit Vrinda Devi there. Later, when I discovered that Vrinda Devi, by the arrangement of her arrangement, and by our ISKCON having this Vrindakund, that she could be visited there in her pastime place, then I also found great satisfaction in visiting her in Nandagram, as every day there's the tour that goes out from the Krishna Balaram Mandir to take people to Vrindakund, Nandagram and Varshana and back to the temple. So when I gradually developed a sense of who Vrinda Devi was, then Tulsi Devi became to me Vrinda Devi. So when I would see Tulsi, I would think, oh, that's Vrinda Devi. So other people would be thinking, that's Tulsi. And I would think, no, that's Vrinda Devi. This is Vrinda Devi's manifestation. So that we, especially in our beginning stages, when we have no development yet, we haven't developed this, this whole picture of Vrindavan hasn't become, the pieces are not there yet in place, we can still be worshipping Vrinda Devi in the form of Tulsi Devi and saying a very wonderful, chanting a very wonderful mantra that will gradually, gradually evolve us, even though we may be beginning as having no idea what at all we are doing. Still, it will come step by step. Now, the last verse of this Astakam is the one that I used to find particularly comforting. It goes, I'm just speaking the English. O Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Those who are devoid of devotion to Lord Hari and who are thrown by their offenses into the waves of lust and other inauspicious qualities may take shelter of you. So this one I always liked, because I would read all these wonderful things and I think, but what about my position? Here Vrinda Devi is saying, take shelter of me and I will bring you up and out of this difficulty. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur finishes with a benediction for anyone who likes to sing and glorify Vrinda Devi. He says, O dear Vrinda Devi, I offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. Let a person who becomes like a bumblebee at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and who reads or hears these eight verses describing the glories of Vrinda Devi, eternally reside at Goloka Vrindavan. He attains, or she attains, devotional service in pure love of Godhead, and all his or her spiritual aspirations will become fulfilled. So So this is the mercy that Vrinda Devi offers. All our present spiritual aspirations, because now we have aspirations to make further advancement. But there's an ultimate spiritual aspiration that we have to come in contact with and understand. And our ultimate spiritual aspiration, this is called the prayojan, or the goal of all of our activities. Now, again speaking for myself, I pray, please help me to improve this, or reduce this, or help me to get over this obstacle, or something. These are steps on a journey. But ultimately, when we lift our eyes up from the different pitfalls and difficulties that on our path, we see, oh, please help me get to the destination. Please help me get to where I'm meant to go to. And Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, practically all our Guru Parampara, are totally united, firmly fixed in what is the goal. Because this is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is all, they all wholeheartedly are one and firm that the goal of all our spiritual practices must be to develop love for Krishna. This is the, should become our purpose. When that becomes our purpose, then we become a serious devotee. In the beginning, we may be just having our own motives why we're in Krishna consciousness. But as that clears, all the cloudiness, all the, Srila Prabhupada one time said to us, it is like lighting a fire. When you first light the fire, there's so much smoke. And this smoke, he said, in the beginning of lighting a fire, is all your material desires. And he said to us, he was speaking to us in a gentle, chastising way. He said, actually speaking to my husband, he said, if you are satisfied, he said, when you're lighting a fire, if you're satisfied with the smoke, he said, that is a sign of your not very good intelligence. So we should take this, that we have so many material things in our heart, is a sign of our not very good intelligence. And Prabhupada said, the smoke, it will just burn your eyes. And you can't, it's not, doesn't produce any gain. But if you want the fire you can cook, you can do so many things with the fire. But the smoke, the smokiness, that has to. And so then he said, because one may be thinking, then how can I get rid of the smoke? If we take that analogy and we think about that analogy carefully, we'll see, how do you get rid of the smoke? And Prabhupada answered him, he said, you fan the fire. And he said, and then as only Srila Prabhupada could do, he said, until it is blazing, that long vowel sound that he was always very endearing to us when he would speak in this way, you fan the fire and it becomes blazing. So that is why we have come here, to fan the fire, and by the fanning of the fire to reduce the smokiness in our consciousness. The material elements that actually we may be thinking that they're valid and they're vital to us, but actually they are what are getting in the way as a screen between ourselves and this prayojan that we must apply ourselves to achieve, which is actually to enter into this transcendental Vrindavan. So Vrinda Devi is very important for us. I'll finish just by reading one little section, just a few lines, and we will complete. In the morning, Vrinda Devi arrives in the forest and addresses all the forest creatures who are suffering from absence of Krishna. She says, O friend the forest, please give up your dizziness of separation. Lord Madhava has come. Rejoice quickly and remind Krishna of your queen, Radha, by showing your attributes and make your beauty useful by facilitating Radha and Krishna's service. O vines, wake up. O trees, blossom. O deer, begin to play. O cuckoos, sing. O bees, hum. And peacocks, dance happily. O parrots, recite sweet verses. O mobile and immobile creatures, rejoice because your dearmost Krishna has come to make you happy. Krishna, seeing his dear forest unconscious out of separation from him, began to shower it with the nectar of his flute song, to serve it and to announce his arrival, to revive it and to announce his arrival. When the forest became sprinkled with nectar of Krishna's flute sound, and fanned by the wind of his bodily movements, and awakened loudly by Vrindadevi, it blossomed at once, and all the mobile creatures being stunned, and the immobile creatures moving to the flute sound. When Krishna surveyed the forest, decorated with many fresh blossoms, and forest-like creatures, standing and laughing with their flowers, singing with their bumblebees, the trees dancing with their leaves and offering drinks with their honey and food with their fruits, the trees of Vrindavan respectfully worshipped approaching Lord Hari. Krishna asked the trees, "Are you all prosperous and cheerful?" He asked the creepers, "Are you in an auspicious condition?" And then he brought his cows to graze near Govardhan Hill. And as Krishna was going to the forest, we hear that the birds were flying in the sky above Krishna, and they were worshipping him by dropping heaps of fragrant forest flowers on his head. So these are some little excerpts of the sweetness of Vrindavan's forest. Thank you very much.